This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. You could say that the Nutcracker began in 1816 with the publication of the story by E.T.A. Hoffman, or in 1892 when the ballet with music by Tchaikovsky debuted in the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg in Russia, or when it became a Christmastime staple at the San Francisco Ballet in 1944, or when the New York City Ballet took it national 10 years after that. You could say also that it's born anew in each of the hundreds of productions around the country at this time every year. For many children, the Nutcracker is their first opportunity to shine on the stage or all dressed up in the audience. For others, it conjures up torturous memories of pretending to be a grown-up. Either way, it's become a seasonal mainstay and a cultural phenomenon, by far our most popular ballet and at the same time the most despised. Later in the program, we'll celebrate the 500th birthday of the medieval French seer Nostradamus. I'll bet he knew he would. But first, the Nutcracker. If you grew up squirming through the performance every Christmas or leapt onto the stage as a snowflake, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Jennifer Fisher. She's a professor of dance history and theory at the University of California, Irvine, and the author of Nutcracker Nation and a self-described Nutcrackerologist. She joins us from the studios of member station KPCC in Pasadena, California. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil. It's good to be here.
What do you mean by Nutcracker Nation?
Well, I tried to find a word that would describe the way people come together to do something different all over the land, because every Nutcracker is different. But they all become this one community in their own minds, part of the Nutcracker community. And I thought of it not just the United States, because I'm also a dual citizen and the phenomenon happens in Canada, but that when we all do the Nutcracker, when everyone does it all over the two countries, at least, where it's an annual tradition, that it's a nation, sort of like Woodstock Nation or the Apache Nation, that for that period of time, everybody has a series of things that they do and believe in and celebrate.
Is it congruent with the world of dance? Is it the same as Ballet Nation?
It is in a way, except there are people who've adapted the ballet not to use ballet technique, and some of them are still traditional. But to some degree, it's a mainstay. The traditional production does use ballet technique, and it represents ballet. It spreads the word. It's where people who don't ordinarily come to ballet come to see it. It's where dancers who maybe don't get to be in professional productions can come back to the stage, where children can get a start. So it's a place where ballet becomes the friendliest it ever is all year round.
Our telephone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email totn@npr.org. And let's begin with Meg, who's with us from Douglas, Georgia.
Hey. When I was about 7 years old, my father took me and my cousin, along with his twin brother, to see the Nutcracker in Washington, D.C. And he bought me a Nutcracker before the performance. And he has been my most beloved and treasured Christmas decoration and ever since then, and I'm 41 years old now, and he's always the first Christmas decoration I take out every year and the last one I put away. And to me, the Nutcracker is just, it's everything wonderful about Christmas and everything wonderful about a special time with a daddy and a daughter.
Have you been back?
I have been back. I have three little boys, and I have tortured them with Nutcrackers throughout the years. And now I finally have a little girl, and she's 5 years old, and we are taking her to the Fox in Atlanta this year to go see the Nutcracker. So I finally have somebody to share the Nutcracker with me, because my boys have not enjoyed it as much as I have.
Jennifer Fisher, that's a little typical, isn't it?
It is. Boys often enjoy the Nutcracker until they find out they're not supposed to. But fortunately, there is a battle scene. They are able to see soldiers, so a lot of them can relate in a stereotypical way to the Nutcracker. It's typical to see the Nutcracker as an artifact, because I say that this is like a ritual, that it comes to symbolize this ballet, but also this set of things that we all want to happen at Christmas time, so that those are brought out.
Go ahead, Meg.
That's exactly what it means to me. Everything I want to happen at Christmas time is symbolized in my sweet nutcracker.
Well, have a great time with your daughter.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And Jennifer Fisher, just for clarification, you point out the nutcracker is a phenomenon in the United States and Canada, not in Russia. Jennifer Fisher, and we're apparently having a little difficulty with our contact or our connection with KPCC. And are you there?
Am I here?
Yeah, there you are.
Good.
We just lost the connection with you for a little bit. I don't know if you heard the question. This ballet, as you mentioned, is a phenomenon in the United States and Canada, but not in Russia.
In Russia, it's part of their classical heritage. But it never got pride of place because during the Cold War years, Christmas wasn't a big celebration, nor did they find it amusing that children should have leading roles. It was a very sophisticated theater when the Nutcracker first premiered. And this ballet was always thought of as a children's ballet, not an adult ballet as well. But if you listen to the music, the Tchaikovsky score, it's full of resonance for adults. It's complicated, it's wonderful, it soars. But no, they really didn't think, I think, that much of the Nutcracker. They're picking up on it now and trying to tour with it like crazy and claiming it over here. But I think they think that Americans are a little bit crazy to venerate the ballet so much, whereas I think we just adopted it, made it something that they don't really understand anymore.
There are more than a few dancers who are also a little bit critical of it. They see it as something of a cliche. And in fact, you quote a dance critic at the beginning of your book saying, you know, the Nutcracker means we're all another year older.
We're one more Nutcracker closer to death.
That's a much better quote, yes.
I love that because he's absolutely right. There is this nut bashing that goes on, but it's the same kind of bashing that goes on when you think, oh my God, another birthday, or I have to go to another wedding. And when you get there, you realize that each wedding is different, each birthday is different. There's a little bit of time passing every time the Nutcracker comes around, but I find the nut bashing that goes on is only skin deep. People think they're sophisticated not to like the Nutcracker. Oh, it comes every year. It's the same thing every year. And one of the things I wanted to do writing Nutcracker Nation was to really tell people there's a reason to believe in this and tell the dance community this is one of our most powerful traditions. To repeat it every year is not boring. It's powerful. It's a wonderful thing. And there's no reason to be ashamed of loving it. And there's no reason to bash it. It also offers all these wonderful classical challenges and says a lot of things we want ballet to do.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Emily from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hello, Emily. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
You're on the air, Emily. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry, what do you want me to say?
What did you call to ask about or comment about?
I called to comment about the Nutcracker. I am in it, and I am about to go to rehearsal right now.
How old are you, Emily?
I am 12 years old.
And is this your first Nutcracker?
This is my second Nutcracker of the season, but I have been in it 2 years before.
And what was your first part?
When I was first in it, I was an angel.
And the next time?
I was a party boy.
And this year?
I am now a bonbon.
A bonbon. And when is the performance?
The performances are this weekend and next weekend. Right now, I'm going to a rehearsal.
And are you in costume?
No, I am not right now.
So what does your costume look like?
It's my part. We're supposed to look like little children because we come out of Mother Ginger's skirt, and our costumes are usually long and pink and ruffly with lots of rhinestones on them.
Oh, that sounds
okay,
nice.
Emily, how many bonbons are under Mother Ginger's skirt?
There's six. Plus
six.
There's two other dancers who push the skirt out because it's stabilizing and there's a person on top.
And what's the next part that you want? What's the part you really want to play next year?
I'm not really sure. It's a surprise every year, but I'd really like to go for being a party girl or, if possible, maybe being one of the lead roles, Clara.
Well, that's mm-hmm. That's a big part. Emily, do you do this because you like to do it, or have your parents convinced you to do this?
I did it because I love to do it. When I was little, I watched the Nutcracker in the crowd, and then I started dancing, and here I am now.
Well, Jennifer Fisher, that's a progression you write about very much in Nutcracker Nation, the child who starts out and grows up through the ballet.
Yes, and Emily's unusual in, I assume you're going to accept your casting gracefully, which is the best thing we can all do. Every part is really interesting. But a lot of girls in ballet and boys decide they must be a snowflake next year. They must be this, they must be that. And Clara, of course, is a prime role, but a lot of girls get too tall to do it very quickly, depending on your company. There is a rite of passage, so kids start to own this ballet, and they really know what they're going for. They work for it, they achieve, they get it, and they also have to accept disappointment sometimes and find the best part about the role they get to play, because they're great roles.
Emily, break a leg.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's try now to go to Rick, and Rick's with us from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi there, how are you?
Very well.
Good. I just wanted to give you a male's perspective on the Nutcracker, and I'm not a nut basher, by the way.
Okay.
I went to Catholic boarding school, and I'm 32 now, and every Christmas the nuns would cart us off to watch the Nutcracker. And I don't think I really appreciated it till I probably got in my 20s, and I'm a teacher now. And I just, there was a company that came through, a Russian company that came through here in St. Louis and performed at the University of Missouri at St. Louis, and they were phenomenal. It was about a month ago. But the thing that amazed me is that there were so many children of color that were playing parts in the Nutcracker as well that were local, and I just thought it gave kind of a neat kind of variation on something that I always grew up seeing, just Caucasian people playing every part.
Mm-hmm. What were you? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the other kind of interesting thing is, I started collecting some things, and my mom said to me this year, "What are you going to collect this year?" And I said, "Well, I think I'm going to start collecting Nutcrackers." And so now I have this collection of Nutcrackers sent to me from all over the country, from friends and family. And I mean, I've probably got 25 Nutcrackers in the last 3 weeks. So, I don't know how to tell them to quit sending them this year, but
Christmas morning could be a shock. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but the Nutcracker for me growing up was a time away from school, number one, which was cool.
Yeah.
But the second thing was it was just kind of a magic time, and it always seemed like Christmas. And, you know, just kind of a male's perspective that is not a nut basher who appreciates the Nutcracker.
But sometimes it does seem to drag on a little bit.
Well, I think it can. But I think if you appreciate something, you're willing to kind of put up with some of the downside of them. I don't know if that makes sense. But
there's also I guess for boys it would be the symbol of the tie that you have
right.
to wear.
Yeah.
Not in California. No one has to wear a tie. Actually, any place in California.
Ties, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Rick, thanks very much for the call. And maybe I just got a suggestion from the control room. If you want them to stop sending Nutcrackers, ask for fruitcake.
Oh, no, that's too much. Thank you very much.
Rick in St. Louis, thank you. We're talking about the Nutcracker and how it became an American holiday tradition. More of your calls after a break. 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or send us email, totn@npr.org. We're speaking with Jennifer Fisher, who's the author of Nutcracker Nation. When we come back from the break, Miss Manners will join us. Judith Martin, who will tell us the right way and the wrong way to inculcate children into the Nutcracker tradition. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and we're talking about one of the seasonal signs of Christmas, the Nutcracker. Our guest is Jennifer Fisher. She's the author of Nutcracker Nation and a self-described Nutcrackerologist. If you have Nutcracker memories or if you're creating them this season, you're invited to join us. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Judith Martin, also known as Miss Manners. She's a syndicated etiquette columnist and the author of Star Spangled Manners, in which Miss Manners defends American etiquette for a change. She thinks the Nutcracker is a great teachable moment on manners. She's with us here in Studio 3A, and it's very nice of you to come in today.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, you say there is definitely a wrong way to take a child to see the Nutcracker.
Yes, and I just heard it. It's by saying it's a crime to put on a tie. Don't worry, you don't have to. People who are trying to dumb down the experience. This is the one formal event most children have. It's a chance for them to experience a new style. It's a chance for you to do a lot of propaganda about it won't kill you to look nice. It won't kill you to sit still for a minute. By making it into a special occasion and a wonderful event, you enhance the experience by saying, oh, don't worry, just be comfortable, never mind, and you don't have to dress up, nobody cares, you'll just have a good time. You dumb down the experience and you inform the child that it's not very important, and it's not important if you annoy the people around you.
In your column that you wrote about this, which is why we asked you to come in, you wrote, the Nutcracker is for children what the Academy Awards is for actresses, the wrong time to go for understatement.
Exactly so.
Now, what about fidgeting, what you describe as audience manners?
Well, children fidget. I mean, they're children. Adults fidget, too, for that matter. But this is a chance to teach them what audience manners are. And with any luck, they'll all grow up to have nice audience manners, and we won't have to sit and listen with every performance we go to of everything, of don't crinkle your wrappers, don't turn off your cell phone, all of that kind of thing. Those are the basics. Every show starts with not just a Nutcracker, but grown-up shows, starts with an etiquette lesson because nobody ever learned how to sit in an audience and behave.
The other aspect that you wrote about in terms of the Nutcracker was for kids, and it's one of the reasons it's a family tradition in many places, but they go and they see kids on stage.
And they tap into the great American dream, I can be a star too. And the first thing you need to know, if you have any aspirations to being an actor, is that you have to be able to behave in different ways at different times. And this experience, even in the audience, if you teach the behavior of that, it's an acting experience.
And it is also the occasion, and our first caller this afternoon said she first saw it from the audience and then later went on to play parts
on stage.
That's
right, that's right. I mean, what is the incentive for every American? I can be a star. You can teach them anything if you promise them that.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is Adam, and Adam's with us from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hey guys, great show.
Thank you
for having me on. I actually just wanted to comment on the fact that as a really young kid, my mother always each year would take my brother and I to the Nutcracker. It was such a huge to-do, and I do remember squirming quite a bit at first, but as I've grown older, I really appreciate it, and I look forward to taking my nieces and nephews and maybe children of my own up the road.
And is there a performance you're planning to go to this year?
Oh, of course. They have a local performance at the Phoenix Symphony Hall. You know, granted, it's not seeing the ballet in, you know, Moscow or anything, but it's pretty darn good for Phoenix.
And having been from your description of it being a big deal, do you expect your nieces and nephews to dress nicely for this?
I'm going to have to let their parents enforce that. I'm not very good at that stuff. Maybe I'll learn.
Well, if you're going to have children of your own, I suspect you'll learn.
It's to be hoped.
Thanks, Adam, very much.
Thank you.
And have a great time.
I will.
And Judith Martin, as you, when was the last time you saw the Nutcracker?
I was a Nutcracker stage mother for 8 years, so I'm entitled to compensatory time off. But I enjoyed it very much at the time.
Jennifer Fisher, to bring you back into the conversation, one of the reasons you have to say that the Nutcracker is such a popular production everywhere in the country and in Canada as well, is that there's 80 parts for kids, so you just sold 160 tickets.
That's true, but I always object to calling it a children's show because the thing about the Nutcracker is that it's both a children's show and an adult show. It's the dual personality that made it so popular in this country. And I also appreciate the remedial to California not wearing a tie anywhere. I couldn't agree more.
Oh, absolutely.
You see people in California at the most expensive ticket areas still dressing in shorts and T-shirts, and you think, is there no occasion on earth that would get them to dress up? And part of the Nutcracker being this Christmas ritual, you have to have a special place and special clothes for rituals to separate it from everyday life.
Hear, hear. And, thank you.
And you see, no, absolutely.
What are little velvet dresses for?
Oh, I love it. I just love watching the children in the lobby dressing up and remembering wearing my little brocade. I had a tiara that I wore, which people find very amusing, but there are still girls going and boys dressing in their best, and I appreciate so much them learning how to behave. It does not get tiring for adults. There's no squirming that goes on. Children have a little trouble with the most satisfying moment of the ballet for adults, which is that wonderful adagio in the second act with the death-defyingly beautiful music. By that time, they've had enough Nutcracker and Christmas and want to go home. So yes, if they're told that this is not an option, thank you very much, parents.
Let me ask you both a question. How young is too young?
Judith might know this better since you were a Nutcracker mom. I often tell people 6 or 7 years old, but some kids can have a great attention span at 4.
Some of them can. If they're prepared, they can do so. Now, with a 4-year-old, I think I would take an aisle seat and be prepared to leave if the child gets upset. But absolutely. I mean, they have 6-year-olds on stage in many Nutcrackers. And if they can act on stage, they can act in the audience. I think the love of theater comes very, very early if people are properly prepared for it. And the people who say, oh, well, you know, you won't like this, you won't like that, wouldn't you rather be watching television, are just discouraging a natural interest in, oh, boy, live theater.
Judith. I saw a 3-year-old actually who could actually analyze the plot from watching videos at the Inland Pacific Ballet in Claremont. Also, I was up at Lake Arrowhead. A little girl sat on her father's lap, and she must have been 3. I don't think she could have been 4. Fascinated, quiet through the whole thing. And I thought, this is an extraordinary child and maybe a good parent.
I'm impressed with the child because as a Nutcracker dad, I had trouble figuring out the plot.
It's, you know, you do
overestimate.
There isn't
much of one.
There is a, until you have someone who doesn't understand it, yes. But I, my stepfather went to see it once, and we forgot to prepare him just with the basics. People say there's no plot, but yes, you do have to know the basics. So it really helps if you're taking a friend to say that there's going to be this happening. She receives a dressed-up kitchen utensil and falls in love. You must tell people that. It's not always apparent.
Judith Martin, I wanted to thank you very much for coming in today. Judith Martin is a syndicated etiquette columnist and the author of Star Spangled Manners, in which Miss Manners defends American etiquette for a change. And she joined us here in Studio 3A. Let's get another caller on the line. And this is Jeff, who's with us from Salt Lake City in Utah.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff.
Yes. How are you doing?
All right. We're having a little trouble with your cell phone, but let's...
I'm sorry. I was just grabbing lunch when I heard the show, and so I thought that I'd give you guys a call.
Well, what's up?
Well, I'm a professional dancer, actually, and I've been dancing professionally for 20 years, and I'm here with Ballet West in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I'm actually doing one of the original productions of The Nutcracker here in the United States.
It's a Christensen production.
I just thought that you guys might like to hear what it's like from the...
I'm not sure you can hear Jennifer Fisher's question, but go ahead, repeat it, Jennifer.
This must be a Christian, one of the Christensen brothers' choreography.
Exactly, Willem Christensen.
Yes, right. He did the original Nutcracker, although I understand all of those Christensen productions have gone through renovations in 1944.
Right, he wanted to do it. I'm sorry?
He wanted to do it because Russian emigres in San Francisco encouraged him. In fact, Balanchine and Danilova, the Russian emigres who were at the New York City Ballet, advised him and said, well, Balanchine just said, make your own production, which is what Balanchine did. Hmm. But that was the first full length.
We have an email question on exactly that point from Roger Scarborough in Portland, Oregon. My wife has managed theaters across the country and seen numerous productions of The Nutcracker for the last 20-plus years. Tonight, I'm seeing the Portland Ballet doing the Balanchine production at the age of 48, and he asks, is there anything special I should watch for when I see it?
The Balanchine production is wonderful. Balanchine managed to make the children, you know, in Russia they started making the children played by adults, which is just like a whole bunch of people with a Peter Pan complex. But Balanchine used real children. They hopscotch, leapfrog, actually. And you'll find that that party scene is very, very active. And there's a wonderful moment that isn't in all Nutcrackers in Balanchine's production where the mother crosses the stage with a candle. I hope they do it in Oregon. I know they're doing their first Balanchine production. And he interpolates a violin solo, which is not in all scores, from another Tchaikovsky score. And she is looking at her sleeping daughter, closing the window, covering her up, her daughter sleeping with a nutcracker. And that, to me, is a wonderful interpolated moment where Balanchine told us that Christmas is about home and hearth and the love between families and the ambitions of a little girl. And then the second act is delightful in that Balanchine and the snow scene knew how to manipulate a corps de ballet. It's wonderful and musical.
Jeff, good luck to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the phone call as well.
Uh-huh.
True to America and its diversity, the popularity of the Nutcracker has inspired many groups and many artists to adapt the work to reflect their own community or their own culture over the years. And here are a couple of variations on the Nutcracker theme.
It's that time of year. You hear it all around. Hey, man, it's that Nutcracker sweet sound. Well, that cat Tchaikovsky, he composed quite a score. The first time you hear it, it leaves you wanting more. But after a while, it gets kind of tired. Sometimes I think that whole thing should just be retired.
Noah Robbins' Nutcracker Rap from the production of the Jazz Hip Hop Nutcracker here in Washington, D.C., and two different variations of Tchaikovsky's Sugar Plum Fairy, one by Duke Ellington and the other by a klezmer group called Shirim. And Roberta Rothstein joins us now. She's artistic director of the Momentum Dance Theater here in Washington. She's the creator of the Jazz Hip Hop Nutcracker, which she calls an urban ethnic nutcracker. She's here with us in Studio 3A, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
Was the Ellington the inspiration for your variants?
Yes, the Ellington, and the fact that it was not a traditional nutcracker. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a dancer, as a jazz and modern dancer, I had spent not so much time performing the Nutcracker, but having my friends perform it and listening to it and thinking, I just couldn't stand to hear it one more time. Oh my God, it's Thanksgiving, I'm going to hear that Nutcracker. And about, I think it was about 10 years ago, I first heard the Ellington version, and I just thought, oh, this is wonderful. This is what I have to do. And it just opened up the whole an alternative Nutcracker world for me.
We're speaking with Roberta Rothstein and with Jennifer Fisher, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Roberta, as you redid this, I mean, you've changed the story at all?
Yes, we've changed the story. I think we were talking about the themes of Nutcracker. I think we've kept some important things and changed some important things. I see Nutcracker, the kernel, really, as both about ritual and about transformation. And so we have really kept the transformation theme. We see our Nutcracker as really transformation through the arts. Now, instead of a Clara, we have a lead boy and a lead girl. We very consciously have both a girl and a boy. We want to appeal to, we want boys to see themselves up on the stage as well as girls. And we give the girl and the boy not only a personality, but we also have text in our show that that does explain the show. Usually one child is a very withdrawn, neglected by her parents. That's shown in the party scene. Parents don't pay any attention to her. She's very quiet. And the other is a very itchy kind of acting out child, always gets teased, doesn't really know their place kind of in their group and in life. One of them is a visual artist and one of them is a writer. And then our Drosselmeyer, who we call Mr. D, appears at the end of the party scene after these two children find each other, and he gives them gifts. He gives one a writing journal and pens, and he gives the other one a beautiful sketchbook. And, and our premise is the entire rest of the show springs from their imagination.
Ah, sort of a Wizard of Oz-like gifts there.
Yes, yes. We've, yes, yes. People have occasionally said that, but when you see the show, you really don't think Wizard of Oz very much.
What kind of reaction do you get from the kids?
The kids on the stage or in the audience?
Both.
Well, the kids on the stage are usually very thrilled to be there. I just wanted to echo the lesson in manners. And by the way, just because you're going to see a jazz hip-hop Nutcracker does not mean you behave any less well than when you're seeing a ballet production. The children in the show learn a lot about behaving backstage, behaving on stage. We have a party scene where there's lots of miming. There's lots of appropriate and inappropriate behavior, and they learn the difference. And also the kids in the audience really learn to identify with the characters. I just wanted to say, instead of our soldiers and mice, we have rats and ninjas. And instead of Sugar Plum Fairy, Ellington's version is Sugar Rum Cherry. It's very bluesy. We have Sugar Rum Cherry and her two male consorts.
Jennifer Fisher, this is one of many variants of the Nutcracker that we're talking about.
Yes, Sugar Rum Cherry was also a character in Donald Byrd's Harlem Nutcracker, which doesn't exist anymore and I hope is revived at some moment, because he also kept the themes, these wonderful themes, imagination, even the neglect of children is found in a traditional production. And various groups have gotten together and told a story about themselves with the Nutcracker, and that's wonderful. It shows how iconic the tradition has become. Often African Americans have done the most creative work because they've often been on the outside of the amazing white ballet world. And this is a place where ballet gets expanded and a ballet tradition goes into other dance forms. I welcome all of these. I think it's a fabulous thing to have Nutcrackers at many ends of the spectrum.
Roberta Rothstein, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Roberta Rothstein, Artistic Director of the Momentum Dance Theater in Washington, D.C. She's the creator of the Jazz Hip Hop Nutcracker and joined us here in Studio 3A. We'll continue our conversation with Jennifer Fisher and take more of your calls after a short break. 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and here are a couple of the stories that NPR News is working on this afternoon. The U.S. government plans to warn women of childbearing age to limit their consumption of tuna because of concerns about mercury poisoning. NPR's John Hamilton is working on that, and efforts to create a new Iraqi army are being set back by the resignations of more than one-third of the soldiers trained thus far. You can hear more coming up on the effort to rebuild Iraq from NPR's Michelle Kellerman later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Ira Flatow and Science Friday look at the future of flight. What will the next 100 years do to change air travel? That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. And we're continuing our conversation with Jennifer Fisher about the Nutcracker. In a few minutes, though, we're going to switch the topic and talk about Nostradamus, who would have turned 500 years old later this month. And first of all, let's go back to Jennifer Fisher, though. She's the author of Nutcracker Nation. And we got an email from Dennis Vogel in Somerset, New Jersey, who wanted, before we left entirely the subject of variations of the Nutcracker, wanted to know a little bit more about Mark Morris's The Hard Nut.
Oh, the Hard Nut is wonderful, actually. I was convinced it exists on video, but I was interviewing Mark Morris, and he made me go and see it in San Francisco, really. It's still performed in Berkeley. He took his second act goes back to the Hoffman story, The Search for the Hard Nut. But he's very traditional, except that he's a little irreverent. He sets it in a 1960s rec room, and people think it's just wildly satirical. But it's very sincere, and it's extremely musical, and it's a lot of fun. So he really stays within the tradition and just has a lot of fun with it, but still gives all of us dance lovers wonderful dancing, wonderful ideas, and rhapsodic moments.
And here's an email from David Kersley, I guess it's pronounced, in St. Paul, Minnesota, who says, I hate the Nutcracker. When I was in the first grade in 1963, I was forced to be one of the bumblebees in the Waltz of the Flowers. I was frowning and gritting my teeth through the entire ordeal. My mom noticed this and was not at all pleased. I'm still bitter. A truly scarring experience. So,
this is a job for Nutcracker therapists, actually. I can't help him. He does not have to go to the Nutcracker. But as an adult, we sometimes look back on these experiences and understand why they happened. Perhaps another Nutcracker production would heal the scars of this horrible production. Or he should have a Drosselmeyer come and show him the ghost of Nutcracker's past and perhaps find a more promising future.
Greg joins us now on the line from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hi, Neil. Love your show.
Thank you.
You know, I'm traveling from Jacksonville, Florida, back up home, and just got off the phone about 2 minutes before I turned on the radio, talking with my 4-year-old daughter, who just this afternoon, finished her first production of The Nutcracker herself. And I just wanted to say how proud of her I was for getting up there on the stage and doing that in front of all of her peers.
What did she tell you?
Well, she said that she was very shy, because all of her friends were in the audience smiling at her, and I told her that they were smiling because she did such a great job.
What part did she play?
She dances a small flower in the Waltz of the Flowers, which, by the way, when we saw the show last year together, I told her that that was my favorite song. So it's just a great thing that she's able to dance in that song right now.
Is there going to be another performance so you can get up to see her?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's one tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, and we have family coming in from Atlanta to see it. So this is her first big show, and just really proud of her doing it.
Jennifer Fisher, I guess one of the benefits of doing a professional productions of The Nutcracker is you don't see your friends in the audience smiling.
You can't see as well, but Greg is pointing out what a lot of parents find is that, especially with girls and women, as they grow into women, is that you're expected to achieve in the Nutcracker. You're set in motion in public. I felt like that when I was in the Louisville Ballet as a snowflake. I started a career, so you really get a lot out of participating in this event, especially for girls in my age group. We really weren't expected to do much in the world, but we found out we could, and girls are still finding that out.
Greg, have a great time.
Great. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Bye. And Jennifer Fisher, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Neil. I hope you're going to go out and support your local Nutcracker.
Jennifer Fisher is a professor of dance history and theory at the University of California, Irvine, and author of Nutcracker Nation. She joined us from the studios of member station KPCC in Pasadena, California.